off his wonderful new wardrobe, he went on a parade through the town, wearing absolutely nothing. He walked through the city streets and the people said, "Oh, look how beautiful his clothes on," because they knew that only a fool could not see them. The king thought he was the most splendid thing that there ever had been, and he walked through the town and everyone was oohing and aahing until a little tiny girl said these questions, "Mommy, why is the king naked?" It was at that very moment that all the people realized they had been duped. They had been fooled. And it was also at that very moment that the king also realized he had a problem. And so he ran back to the kingdom. Story goes is only fools realize that they're naked. And this morning my question to you is, are you naked? God's word instructs us to be girded with something. The question this morning then, as I extend it then, is, are you naked or are you girded? Are you prepared for what's ahead? Or are you simply thinking, as a fool would think, that you are ready for what might lie before you this morning? This morning, I ask this question because as we think about the necessity of things that you might be going to go do, you have to prepare yourself in certain ways. This morning, if we were to get on a plane and then go on ship to Antarctica, you would not be wearing the clothes that you're wearing now. You would want to take along a very heavy coat, such as a parka or a winterized coat. You'd want to wear special boots to keep your feet warm and very warm socks. You'd want long underwear, special pants, special shirts. You'd want a hat, and you'd want gloves and things very special for that climate and for that weather. This morning, if we were going to go scuba diving, you would not wear the clothes that you are wearing now. You'd want to wear a wetsuit or a dry suit. You'd take along a snorkel or a diving pack. You'd take along fins. You'd take along goggles. You'd be prepared for the situation that you were going into. If you were going to go to a baseball game, you might wear what you're wearing now, but you could probably be a little more comfortable. You might wear a jersey or a t-shirt of your favorite sports team, or a hat, baseball cap from your favorite team. You'd probably wear comfortable tennis shoes and comfortable pants. You might even wear a pair of sunglasses. You might even also have your baseball glove there to catch that foul ball. You'd be going into the situation prepared for what might lie ahead. This morning, as we ask the question, are you naked? I want to ask this question, are you prepared for what lies ahead then as well? This morning, most Christians fail to see that we not only have a physical set of clothing that we are called to wear, thank you, by the way, for wearing yours today, but also we are called to have on an invisible spiritual set of clothing. This morning, my question has been extended this way. Are you naked or are you girded? The Bible tells us that not only are we to be a part of this world, not only do we walk and exist in this world, but it also tells us that we are at war in this world. And one of the things that soldiers do to protect themselves in times of war is wear armor, to wear special protective gear. Even our soldiers overseas at this very time are there wearing protective gear. They do not go out in public wearing these sort of garments. They would go out wearing special things. And this morning I want us to understand that just as a soldier overseas might go into war and go into prepare and into battle, they would wear helmets to protect their heads and camouflage to allow them to disappear into their surroundings. They wear special vests to prepare to prevent bullets from entering their bodies. They carry suitable weapons such as knives and guns, etc. They even have protective glasses they wear on their eyes to protect their eyes. They have boots upon their feet, the protective boots, and so forth. And even in biblical times, before the age of guns, they carried handheld weapons, and even they had shields to shield their bodies such as with armor. This morning, I want us to examine the pieces of armor that God has given to us and see exactly what the purpose of each piece is for. Then once we accurately identify each of their pieces and the purposes, we can see in the end then why it's so important that we wear each of these pieces as daily we go to war. Would you take your Bibles this morning and join me in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, looking at verses 6 through 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. And it is here in this passage we find the whole armor of God. I want to say thank you to each of you for bringing your Bibles this morning so you can follow along in God's Word as you see what we're reading out loud. That way you know what I'm saying is true. I'm not just giving you a bunch of baloney. That way you can see for yourself what the Word of God says. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it begins by saying these words. As Paul begins to kind of complete his letter to the church at Ephesus, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we'd ask that you'd give us understanding this morning as we begin to understand what these pieces of armor are, and not only as we identify them, but as we see the purpose for each and every piece. Father, may we leave this place understanding what this armor is useful for and how we ought to wear it, how it's useful for war and for protecting ourselves, Father, and it's a gift that you've given to us. Father, may we be hearers of your word and readers of your word, but ultimately doers. Father, I ask for myself that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart might be glorifying and exalting in your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Just as the king was fooled in the story of the emperor's new clothes we heard a moment ago, many Christians today are fooled into thinking that they don't need the armor that God has so readily provided. The king was fooled into believing that if he couldn't see the clothing, that he then himself was a fool. So to prevent that from happening, he believed that the clothing was absolutely beautiful. But the problem was is that there was never any clothing there to begin with. There was nothing there that he had on to start with. And too many Christians today think that they are covered and protected by some sort of armor of God that is not even there because the individual has failed to ever place it on their bodies. This morning on the back of your bulletin is a place for you to take notes if you would like to do so. It lists off piece number 1 through 6. It gives you a place to write in each piece of armor as well as write what each of those pieces of armor do. And as we approach the concept of this war, this mentality that we are at war, we need to understand that this war that we are in has already been won. Christ has already become the victor. He has already won the victory. And as has been said by many others before, we have read the back of the book and we've won. We win through Christ. And today the only power that Satan has over any believer is that power that which we give to him. If you wish this morning to live a discouraged and depressed and bitter life all the time, then allow Satan the privilege to have you discouraged, depressed, and bitter. That's the only way that can happen. In Christ, we have so many blessings that we have truly nothing to be discouraged, depressed, and bitter about. But when we allow Satan to move into our lives and cause us to feel that way, we have given him the power to do so. But Christ himself conquered the power of sin and death, and we are told through God's word that 3 days later he rose again. And Satan can throw all sorts of temptations at us, just the same way that he threw at Christ, but we see through Christ that Christ has shown us that we don't have to fall trap to those temptations. He did not have to, nor do we. So we are beginning to understand this morning that through the special power of God upon our lives, through what we call the whole armor of God this morning, we can stand against the temptations of Satan. We can stand against what it says here earlier in the chapter in verse 11, against the wiles or the desires of the devil. We can stand against them. And Paul tells us how to do that, thankfully. He gives us the instructions in what to do. And he starts off by telling us in verse 11 to put on just a few pieces of armor. Is that what it says? No, it says what? Put on the whole armor of God. Understand with me this morning that unless you put on the whole armor of God, you have left some parts of your life able to be violated. You have left certain parts of your life open. Too many Christians today take God's word and pick and choose out of it what they want to believe and what they don't want to believe. That's leaving yourself open to be violated. That's leaving areas of your life open to have problems. But Paul tells us to take on the whole armor. And the idea in the Greek behind this is to take on the whole armor and never take it off. To put it on permanently. Super glue it on. You know, make sure it's on and it stays on. That it's not going to fall off. That at the end of the day, you're not going to take it off because you're just down, you're tired. But you're always going to be ready to go to war. You're always going to be vigilant and ready to go. If a soldier overseas right now was out in the desert or out on his own and decided that he really didn't need to wear his protective gear and started taking off some of that protective gear, there could still be consequences. We hear stories all the time of IEDs going off and suicide bombers and so forth. And so a soldier always has to be ready for the unpredictable, always has to be ready for what might come around the corner. So a soldier must always be ready. We see here that we are put on the whole armor of God to always be ready. And as we look down this list of 18 verses here, we find three pieces of armor that the Roman soldier always wore. He never took these pieces of armor off except for maybe sleep. If they were out on the battlefield somewhere sleeping or out in the wilderness sleeping somewhere, they'd always wear these. The only time they'd really take them off was when they were back in their own homes. But those three pieces, and you can write them down here real quick if you want to, is the girdle, the breastplate, and the shoes. Those are three pieces of armor that he never, ever took off. He always wore them, always prepared for what might come around the corner. The other three pieces of armor, though, that we read about here in these 18 verses, are things that he carried with him in times of battle. He carried with him a shield, a helmet, and a sword. And we're going to look at these six different pieces of armor that go together. And we are reminded as Christians that Paul says, once you've put them on, never take them off. Always be prepared. Unlike the Roman soldier, we never have a time when we are not at war or in battle. We are always fighting. We are constantly told to be vigilant, to stand firm, and to contend for the faith. There is never a time when the enemy against us is going to let up. There will certainly be times when life seems easier. There will certainly be times when life will seem to be going better, but do not be deceived by false notions. Because it is often during those times of what we seem like we are in easiness of life that things are starting to boil. Things are starting to come to pass. I've shared with you in the past that I like macaroni and cheese. One of the hardest things about macaroni and cheese is waiting for the water to boil. When you put that water into the pan, it looks calm, it looks smooth. But what you don't see is that within that water, as that water slowly heats up, the molecules are starting to run and run and run and run and get faster and faster. And before long, you have a roaring, bubbling water process going. So when things look calm and smooth, things are still happening. Satan still is at work. The devil still has a plan that he's trying to come to pass. There is never a time when the enemy is going to let up. Verse 14 here this morning is where we want to start and really start to put our focus on between verses 14 through 17 as we look at these six pieces of armor. But we see our very first command for a soldier of Christ comes in verse 14 with the very first word. What is it, class? Stand. Stand. That's not a suggestion. That's not a word of advice. That's a command from God. As we look at the Roman armor, as we're going to kind of look at today, we're going to notice one thing, and that's that the backside of the soldier was naked. There was no armor on the back of the soldier. The back of the soldier was wide open for whatever may take place, for whatever weapon may come out of nowhere. It's not covered. If you were to turn around, you would expose yourself and therefore be as good as dead. There was nothing on your back to protect you. But why was there nothing on their back? Because a soldier never turns and runs. A soldier always advances and fights. He never falls back. He never turns his back to the enemy. He is always standing strong. Imagine this morning if our Savior Jesus Christ had run at the first signs of trouble. If at the moment they started to call crucify him, if he just disappeared, if at the moment that they started to pick up rocks to throw at him, if he just kind of, vanished off into the population, today we would have no hope of the cross. But instead he advanced. He stood strong and went forward regardless of the cost, regardless of what the payment was that he was going to have to pay. And how then do we repay him for offering us this gift of salvation? How do we show him that we love him? How do we show him that we want to exalt and magnify him? Let's be real, in 2013, oftentimes what we do is we turn and run. We expose our backs to the enemy, and we turn and run away from our Savior rather than stand strong. We are told here in verse 14 then, that after we are to stand, that we are to gird our waist with truth. The girdle was the main part of the Roman soldier's armor. It was his belt. And we're going to kind of talk about this belt here in a moment. And it's interesting because every piece of armor in one way or another interacted with the belt, interacted with the girdle. And if the girdle wasn't tight, if the girdle wasn't held strong, all of his armor would fall off. He would have problems with his armor. He would not be able to operate the way that a true soldier should have worked. And we are told here that he is to gird up his waist with truth. The Romans' armor had a belt, which then flowed a tunic, or what we would consider to be sort of a skirt. And one of the things that would happen is as they marched, that, I'll just call it a skirt for no other reason, would sway back and forth. But in battle, when a soldier would try to take a stance, that skirt, that tunic, would constrict him and he would not be able to move. Ladies, how many of you ever tried to run in a dress? Doesn't work very well, does it? Because you've got just limited room. So what they did then was to gird up their tunic into their belt. They would reach down between their legs and grab the back of the skirt, the back of their tunic, pull it through, and tuck it in to their belt, kind of like a diaper. It's kind of what it looked like, an adult diaper. And with that then, they suddenly had shorts on. And they could stand, and they could fight, and they could run, and they could move, whereas before with the tunic on, they couldn't do that. So suddenly now, as they have girded themselves with their tunic into their girdle, they've girded themselves, they have room to move. They have room to accept the enemy and to fight forward. It was not the most attractive thing to see a soldier girded up like that, but it was efficient. It allowed him quicker movements. In a spiritual sense, the girdle of the Roman soldier is truth. Everything attached to the girdle in one form or another, the breastplate, the sword, etc., there would be no use for the helmet if the rest of the body were uncovered. So even with the helmet, the girdle plays a portion of importance. But the truth of the Word of God is vital to our faith. If we cannot hang our hat on the faith of God, if we cannot attach everything in our lives to the faith of God, then we truly have nothing. We have nothing to protect us. We have nothing to go by. We of all people are worthless. We would have nothing to hold on to. John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The truth is like the girdle of the armor. Without Christ, the rest is useless and fake. You coming to church this morning, if you don't believe in Christ, it's fake. It's worthless. It's nothing. It's vain. Putting money into an offering plate, if you don't believe in Christ, is absolutely worthless. You've just given away a bunch of money for no reason. You know, helping old people across the road, doing whatever you think that you need to do out of good hospitality or charity is worthless in God's eyes unless you have faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you don't have that one thing, everything else you do in life is pointless. It's worthless. Without Christ, the rest of our life is useless and false. It's fake. So gird up yourself with truth. Realize that Jesus Christ is your Savior, wants to be your Savior if he's not already. Have faith in God that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, that no man can come to the Father except through him. Our second piece of armor we have this morning is the breastplate. It was a piece that covered the chest. It was a metal piece that attached over the shoulders and down to the girdle. It was shined to reflect the sun. As they would shine it, they would reflect that light from the sun, giving off a bright light and reflection. And one of the unique things that would happen would be is that they went into war. Oftentimes that light shining off of their breastplate would blind the enemy coming towards them. But imagine, if you will, hundreds of soldiers lined up side by side, shoulder to shoulder, and the light is reflecting off of their chest. Have you ever gone down the road at night and seen a headlight coming in your direction, only to realize that there's actually 3 or 4 cars there, there's not just one? Well, imagine all of a sudden if you have hundreds of soldiers lined up side by side, shoulder to shoulder, and their breastplates are shining. It would look like one giant shining light. And in a way that struck fear into their enemies. They were scared as they saw that because they could not count how many individual people there were. They just saw a massive army, a massive glob of shining lights coming their direction. This battle piece was used to cover their heart and their chest. And the spiritual armor, the breastplate, we are told, is righteousness. Righteousness is the positive result of a sound relationship with God and an individual. It is a gift from God that we do not deserve that allows us to have a relationship with him, and through that relationship, we study and can learn more about him as we mature as Christians. And that's what protects our hearts from melting. As we understand more about who God is and how much He loves us, that protects our hearts. That protects us from giving up. That protects us from walking away. It helps us to stand strong. As a church, when we stand side by side, do we shine as a bright light like the soldiers would have reflected the light? Or are we dim? Do we need to shine our breastplates so that we shine brighter? Another interesting thing that this breastplate did was as the soldiers marched, they would carry their sword and they would beat their breast over and over. Now if you could imagine one soldier banging their sword against a metal chest, imagine thousands of soldiers doing that. As they walked, it magnified the sound of their steps one by one, making what sounded maybe a few soldiers sound like hundreds. That would strike fear into the hearts of the enemies. This morning, as we gather as a church, as we sing forth God's praises, do we lift our voices? Does that strike fear into the heart of our enemy? That we would stand firm in what Christ has done for us? Or are we timid and are we weak, scared little children in the eyes of our enemy? Many have said that Satan is very smart, and it's true. Over the centuries that he's been on this earth, he has become smarter at deceiving people. But truthfully, if Satan were really smart, he'd still be in heaven. He never would have fallen in the first place. But yet today, so many people give up because they can't see how to fight and don't understand that the war has been won. So many Christians today give in, even though they don't understand that the battle's already been won. Verse 15 tells us to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. It's interesting what the soldiers did with their shoes. They would take their thick boots and they would drive nails into the bottom of them. And this allowed them to have a sort of like a spikes or cleats on the bottom of their feet so that when they marched into battle, they could ground their feet into the ground and have a firm stance. Another thing that would be helpful to do is oftentimes they would kick their enemies away. Imagine being kicked by a shoe covered in nails. I don't think it would be very comfortable. But it was used to help them stand strong, not to mention the fact that it would help them hold their stance. And in the spiritual armor, the soldier is to shod his feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel of Christ is the foundation of the believer. If we don't stand strong upon the promises of God's word, we will fall. We will not be able to stand strong. The Christian has studied it and knows the idea behind this. The Christian has studied it and knows that his foundation is secure because he is at peace with God. He knows who God is and he knows his promises and he knows that he is not alone on the battlefield. And because of that, he can stand strong against whatever may come his way. Next, we are told to take the shield of faith. This shield was an instrument used by the Roman soldiers measuring 4 feet tall by 3 feet wide. Many times it was in the shape of a rectangle. And it was used to push forward and form a line of defense against the enemy. When the enemy fired darts and arrows at them, they would get behind their shields. The first row would duck down with their shields so that the arrows could not come from the front. And the ones behind the first row, the second line, third row, whatever, would hold their shields above so that the arrows could not come down upon the troops that they were serving with. It served as a line of defense. The shields were also covered with an oil leather-like substance that protected them, that when a fiery dart or a fiery arrow would land upon that shield, immediately that arrow would go out because there'd be nothing to burn. The oil there would extinguish that flame. This spiritual army, the spiritual armor that we have, the shield of faith is truly faith. Faith in Christ is our unshakable belief that He is our protector and that He delivers us from the lies of Satan. It is knowing what God offers. It's knowing what God offers is better than anything Satan could ever give to us. It's knowing that when Satan tries to tell us that we are not good enough or don't deserve grace, that God, we can be reminded that God has already paid the price for that. That we can stand strong and be defended by the grace of God. Second to last, we have the helmet of salvation. This helmet was a metal headgear piece. You can kind of see a picture of it there that some of the officers would have worn. It was used in hand-to-hand combat. The head was almost a target in a sword. Was always a target in a sword fight, and the helmet would protect the person from being hurt. It would protect that valuable piece of meat on top of the body. It would watch out for it. It would take care of it. In the spiritual army, the helmet protects the believer from the lies of Satan. How many of you have ever heard rumors and started to believe them? You've heard things that maybe sound true, you're not 100% sure, but then they start to sound true the more you hear them, and before long you have been duped or tricked into believing something that's not been true. The helmet of salvation is there to protect us from that. When Satan tries to tell us that we're useless, that we're not good enough, that God doesn't care about us, that God doesn't really have time for us, those are the lies that as we understand God's word, we can protect ourselves from and realize that God is in control of our lives and that he loves us and wants to take care of us. Last, we have the sword. The sword is the only weapon of the Roman soldier, foot soldier. Everything else about the armor is for defense. But here we have his offensive weapon. It's the only thing that he carries in the battle to go forward with, to advance with. The Roman soldier would spend countless hours learning and training with his sword. And he had to learn it. He had to become better at it than his enemy was. Because if his enemy was better at sword handling than he was, certainly he was going to die. He would keep his sword sharp. He would keep it shined up, ready to be used for battle at any time, lest either he be killed or taken as a slave himself. You might take a little note of this. I thought this was kind of interesting. But the Roman soldier knew it was easier to keep a sword sharp and a sword ready than to try to get a rusty sword ready for battle. You might say, well, Pastor, that kind of makes sense. I mean, it would be easier to keep a knife sharp if you sharpened it all the time. It's easier to use a sharp knife than it would be a dull knife, or to take a dull knife and have to sharpen it in order to be able to use it. Otherwise, you'd be sitting there and be sharpening it forever. I would propose to you this morning that the same is true of your knowledge of God's Word. As you study it, as you understand it, as you apply it to your lives, it's going to be easier to recall verses and know what God wants you to do than when you only consult God once in a blue moon. If you come to God once in a while, only when there's a big problem in your life, you're going to spend a long time trying to figure out what God wants you to do. But if you are readily in the Word daily, searching the Scriptures, trying to understand how God would have us live each day, it will be easier for you to live, it will be easier for you to advance with the sword than to not have the sword sharp at all. The Christian soldier has this weapon. The sword is the Word of God. It's the only offense we have. It is the truth that we measure everything else against. It is the truth that we preach and teach to pull people from Satan's grasp and show them the way to Christ. It is the weapon that we use to behead the lies of Satan himself. This morning I wonder, are you naked or are you girded? Are you wearing this armor that we have read about here in Ephesians chapter 6? Are you wearing it for real? Or are you being fooled into the idea that you are protected when in fact you are not? This morning you might be saying, my armor is the prettiest, most beautiful thing you've ever seen. You could be fooled this morning. Are you really girded? Have you really put on the breastplate of righteousness? Do you really have the helmet of salvation? Do you really have the sword on the shield? Do you really have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel? Are you standing on the promises of God's word each day, or are you just doing your best to make it through each day? We are called to stand on the promises. But are you standing strong then? Are your feet prepared for battle? Are you carrying your sword and your shield? Are you carrying the weapons and the armor that you need to have to stand strong against the wiles of the devil? This morning, are you naked or are you girded? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us this armor. Lord, help us to remind us to put it on every day. That every day the battle is continuing on. Even though you have won the battle, Father, and by sending your Son Jesus Christ to die upon the cross for us, we understand that Satan has not yet given up. He is still continually throwing temptations at us, trying to get us to fall. But Father, help us to stand strong. Help us to grasp this truth. Help us to stand firm upon the Word of God. Help us to carry this shield and remind us that we can stand strong. Father, I would ask that this morning you would help us to check ourselves, to examine ourselves. First of all, we have to ask ourselves, Father, have we accepted your Son, Jesus Christ, as our personal Savior? Because, Father, if we can't say yes to that, then none of this is fruitful. It's all worthless. This whole life is worthless. It's for nothing. Father, then we have to ask ourselves, are we standing strong? Are we standing the way that we've been commanded to? Are we contending for the faith? Are we keeping on, keeping on? Are we standing against the wiles of the devil? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the time we've had this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.